Good morning. It's 9 o'clock. I'd like to call this meeting to order. Welcome to councilors and our guests in the gallery and our staff. Before we proceed, I would like to remind everyone to turn off their cell phones, to put them on mute, and that this meeting is being recorded. So we're going to start off with our Years of Service Awards, and that will be followed by changes approval to our agenda. When the Region of Queens was formed, they started presenting long-term service awards for our staff. They're milestone 5-year increments, and their accumulation of staff who have worked previously with the former municipality of Queens, as well as the town of Liverpool. So today we are going to be doing our milestone awards. Shelley's going to assist. And as you all know, we are a very diversified unit looking after various responsibilities. The administration building, Hillsview Acres, Public Works, Recreation, Landfill, and Queens Place, as well as our finance department. There's 20 staff today being presented with their milestone awards. Many of them are not here today. CEO McNeil and I will be presenting the engineering departments to them tomorrow. And there's 267 years of cumulative service by 20 employees. So we will start with the 5-year awards. And these 5-year certificates are given to Steve Kennedy, who's equipment operator at Public Works, John Nickerson, who's a heavy equipment operator, and Christine Watson, who is here today. So, Christine.
Am I the only one?
You are the only one. And we're not going to shake hands.
Thank you.
So there's 7 staff members that have been here for 10 years. Samantha Frail, Rachel Jodry, both from Hillsview Acres, Kaylee Oikel, who works in this administration building as finance clerk, James Rhino, who's the equipment operator, Jean Womble, landfill assistant, Philip Wynott, sorter at the MRF facility, and Larry Wynott. Today with us is Rachel and Kaylee. Here's Kaylee. Rachel. We're going to do a double. Congratulations, Rachel.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Next up, 15 years. We have Tracy Baker, residential care assistant from Hillsview, Melvin Carver, landfill assistant from the landfill, Jeff Cunningham, temporary machine operator, Fred Murphy, landfill assistant, Steve Parnell, Capital Works foreman, and Randy Rapp, who is a sorter at our MRF. And Tracy is with us today. Ooh, Tracy gets involved. Hillsview Acres staff are home to many people, and it's a great place. Thank you.
Thank you.
Three staff have been with us for 20 years. David Henderson is equipment operator with the Public Works Department. Scott LeBlanc is down back, and Paulette is, Scott looks after the solid waste safety officer, works out of this admin building. And Paulette Smith is payrolls and benefits clerk. So Paulette and Scott. Paulette's valuable because without Paulette, nobody gets paid. And we have a 30-year award to Jane Lawson, who has been a residential care assistant at Hillsview Acres. date. Thank you very much, Jane. And with that matter underway, are there any changes or approvals to the... What did I forget? Pardon?
Yes.
Oh, I have Shelley keeping track. To all of you who received your awards, it's a pleasure to work with all of you. From what I can see so far, this is a great unit that works together well. The knowledge, experience, and the commitment that you've been serving the public, along with the pride that you show representing the region of Queens, is pretty evident. On behalf of council, staff, and the residents of this community, I thank you all for your hard work. Okay, so we're gonna do a picture.
I think so, yeah, and I can stand back here so that it's...
Chris, you're not gonna be in that picture, are you? Chris? I'm getting...
Do I get another picture, Shelley?
Not you.
Shelley, is it just them? Just them? Are we okay? All of you guys.
All right. It's gonna take three. One, two, three. This isn't as quick as I can.
Smile in your eye.
Yeah. Big smile, come on. Get your tongue back here. Thank you.
And to those who had asked earlier about pictures, this is now the beginning of the formal meeting.
Yes, I...
So, changes. We'll see you all in 5 years.
Congratulations.
5 years' time, we'll see you all again. Have a great day. Are there any changes or approvals to the agenda? Counselor Gidney?
Just wondered if we can add, we've received the email from the fire department concerning the ladder drop. Can we discuss that? Is that something we can discuss today, or...
We can make reference to that.
Yes.
A little discussion on their request. We'll put it down as a path forward.
Okay, thank you.
Under reports. And it will simply be a discussion as to what path to take.
Yes, yes, thank you.
Nothing regarding...
No.
Okay.
Exactly, thank you.
15.2. No, 14.2. Those are from... Any other changes to the agenda? If not, I ask for a motion for the agenda to be accepted. Moved by Counselor Charlton, seconded by Counselor Gidney. All those in favor, signify by raising your hand. Passed. There are no petitions to be tabled today, which brings us up to our presentation. So I'd like to welcome the young budding scientists, Olivia and Garfield Glantz-Swicker, who are representing the class of Ms. Luschner and her student teacher, Susan B. So Olivia and Garfield, can you come forward?
Thanks.
Hill.
And I am Bresma Glantz-Wicker.
And I am Olivia Glantz-Wicker.
We're here to talk to you today about the Mersey River.
What did we do?
The grade sevens at South Queens Middle School were learning about empowerment and took our learning into the community. Empowerment is when people have the power to push for change. A great example of empowerment is Stella Bowles. Stella Bowles is trying to help serve La Haza in a safe place and clean up a high amount of people that could be in it. We have felt empowered while doing this project.
So how did we start?
We started by learning about Stella Bowles and what she did to clean up the La Haza River with fecal bacteria. This inspired us to look into the Mersey. Our teacher, Ms. Lucener, reached out to Stella. She provided the water testing equipment and taught Ms. Lucener how to use it.
What and where did we test?
We tested for enterococci bacteria, a type of bacteria found commonly in fecal matter. We tested on October 30th and December 10th. Both times we tested under the Henry Hensey Bridge, the end of Waterloo Street, Tupper Park, the Canoe and Camera Club, Pine Grove, and 476 Highway 8 in Milton. Our results were shocking.
So here you can see our testing sites. So what do our results from October 30th mean? As per Health Canada, 70 enterococci per 100 milliliters means you should not swim. 170 enterococci per 100 milliliters means the water should not touch your skin. So site one, which is Waterloo Street, was uncountable. Now uncountable means that there were so many that we couldn't count them. Site two, which is under the Henry Hensey Bridge, had 340 enterococci per 100 milliliters. Site three, which is Pine Grove, had 325 enterococci per 100 milliliters. Site 4, the personal address of 476 Highway 8 in Milton, had 335 enterococci per 100 milliliters. Site 5, the Canoe and Camera Club, had 200 enterococci per 100 milliliters. Site 6, which is Tupper Park, had 230 enterococci per 100 milliliters.
Here are some questions we have. Why are there such high levels of enterococci and bacteria in the river?
How did the river get so dirty?
Is this fixable? What has been done and what can be done about it?
On the Region of Queens website, it says that in 2018, the region applied to a grant from the federal and provincial governments to remove sewer discharge from Liverpool Harbor. Did the region get the grant? Why or why not?
What locations have had straight pipes removed?
How common are combined sewer and septic pipes?
So you want answers to your questions. So yesterday I met with Adam Grant. Adam Grant is our assistant engineering director, or acting director at this point in time. And I guess we'll start with the first question. So why are there such high levels of enterococci bacteria in the water? I must admit I didn't know what enterococci bacteria is. So I looked it up. And it's most commonly found in the fecal matters, as you know, of warm-blooded animals, but is also found in sediments and non-fecal matter. So while it is found in fecal matter, it's also found in sediments, bird droppings, and other things. One of the things I read was, although enterococci are highly abundant in the intestines of many mammals, they are not exclusive to that environment and can persist and grow outside of fecal tracts. So thinking about that, we think about the river system and we think about the amount of sediments that are in the Mersey River. The Mersey River, since the day of Simeon Perkins, was a mill, was a river on which there were many sawmills located. If any of you are familiar with the community of Milton, you'll know when the tide is low, because it's tidal, that there's not a hard sandy bottom at the bottom of that river. It's sediment, and it's deep, and it's squishy. So why are there high levels of enterococci bacteria in the water? It would be dependent upon the amount of sediments, if there are any on-site septic systems that aren't working, if there are properties that do have a sewer overflow. It would depend upon your weather conditions at the time in which you did your testing. Had it been really dry? Had there been a lot of rainfall? Was there tidal influence? And you'll also note that some of those sites you took, for example, the end of Waterloo, that's at a direct site of an outfall, an area that has not yet been attached. So that's our explanation of why you've picked up those high levels of bacteria in those certain sites. So how did it get so dirty? And again, I don't know if dirty is the right word to use, that you picked up all those bacterial matters does not necessarily indicate that the whole river's dirty. You picked out some certain sites. You could have animal waste. You could have had years of historic livestock. So while you may say the river is so dirty, compared to most rivers, and I know you shouldn't compare one to another, but lots of rivers have levels of enterococci bacteria simply because of sediments, of birds. Think how many ducks there are around Milton. Think of where they accumulate and how many of them are there. So all that feces does not go away. Is it fixable? Everything's fixable, except perhaps trying to the sediments that are already there in the bottom. But when it comes to fixing the septic problems, that is fixable with the price tag. So what has been done and what can be done about it? So the former town of Liverpool, 100 and some odd years ago, when it started doing septic, it basically put the pipes in the ground. There were some overflows. What the region of Queens has been doing, and the former the region of Queens has been doing, is it's been extending its collection of septic and wastewater elsewhere. So in Milton, for example, the system runs from the former town of Liverpool to Clyde Crofts on the west side. So that would be this side, the side of the well. So that whole side of the river, all the homes on that side from, say, the well all the way to Clyde Crofts, which is Kevin's now, so it's almost to the second bridge. No, that's skipped, but it starts up at the
bridge.
So it stops at the well, and then it skips up to the bridge. And then from the first bridge, it goes almost to the second bridge. Then on the other side, the Highway 8 side, the system starts at, it runs all that way. It runs to, help me out, Chris. I'm not the engineer.
No, it runs from the tidal area there all the way through Milton to Glenwood Street.
Right, the pond where people skate, if that makes any sense. And it runs up to Glenwood Street, and then it runs up Glenwood Street. So there are sections along that river, there's nothing from the top bridge up, there's nothing all the way up the Mersey. And as you also know, like the end of Waterloo still has an outfall, and there is a small one over toward King Street. So that's what's been done so far. Is it fixable? Continuing to expand the sewer septic system is fixable at a great big price tag, which takes me into your next question. So yes, the Region of Queens did apply for funding from the federal and provincial governments to help it fix the end of Waterloo. That's a $4.2 million project. And it was refused. Why does provincial government refuse municipalities funding? They don't give you a reason. They don't write back and say, we didn't accept your grant up your request for funding because A, B, C, or D. They simply refuse to produce it. At this point in time, there's no funding, there's no grant applications open, but when they do, that site will be reapplied for. Could we take $4.2 million of our own money and fix that? We could dump into reserves and fix that, but is that worth $4.2 million, or is it better to wait until we can get that other two-third funding from the provincial government and the federal government? Because that's a lot of money. What locations have had straight pipes removed? So what did you mean by straight pipes?
So basically, straight pipes are, they go from a house and they go directly into a river.
So that would be all the sewer and all the wastewater.
Yep.
So when I asked the engineer this question, when the systems were put in, investigation of what types of systems were there were not evaluated. But one would assume that some of the older places that are, say, 150, 160 years old would have had those types of pipes, perhaps along the Milton side or whatever. So yes, there would have been some locations, but to pinpoint where exactly those locations have been, Adam was not sure. He's basically with part of the plan to just keep fixing things. And how common are combined sewer and septic? Do you mean sewer and wastewater? Or do you mean sewer and the water runoff? Because sewer and septic are the same thing. So did you mean the runoff, like the water? Like if you look in Liverpool, you'll see the big on the sidewalks and on the roads, those big graded holes.
Mm-hmm.
So those collect all the wastewater runoff.
Okay.
So there are some that do collect the storm drain water, and then they run into the system in back of the Hank Snow Center. So that system collects. So there are few, but we've been moving away from that in the recent years, because you don't need all that going through your collection system at the sewer lagoon.
Yes.
Ms. Luschner?
I'm hoping to explain, so the combined system, what we were speaking about in our class was, and I've been talking a lot back and forth with Stella about this, just because I'm learning a lot as I go in this last.
Do you want to come
well.
Forward? Sure. Come up to the table so we can see.
So what we learned about combined pipes is that, and this, when you guys have been doing construction or on the pipes recently, maybe this has been replaced, but from what we understand, combined pipes are when you have sewer overflow, and so storm drains and sewage pipes, storm pipes and sewage pipes are the same pipe. So if it was to rain really hard, then those sewage pipes that are coming from people's houses will overflow into the river. So when we did that, took our first should be highlighted that was during lower tide, and that it had rained a couple days beforehand. So that because a combined pipe system could certainly explain why the numbers were so high. When I spoke to Stella about our high numbers, she certainly would, she and her scientific mentors certainly wouldn't have related those high numbers to natural sediments in water, that like such high numbers like that could not be explained by just depths or, you know, natural sediments occurring in the water. From what, you know, from the years that they've been spending all this time, you know, with the, in the, on the Lahave River. So you did list straight pipes at the end there. But certainly like combined pipes and straight pipes would be something that we would hope that you would want to explore, you know, up and down the river. And we certainly did test sites, you know, along a large part of the river. Parts of the river where our students are jumping into the water and swimming. Like we had a result up on the screen, and I had kids in my class who were just blown away because they had just jumped in that river down under the bridge, you know, a couple days before. So I think that it's certainly worth exploring the reasons why. Like, I want these kids to be asking why is there so much, such a high count of fecal matter in our rivers? And it's not their job, you know, to find out the answers why. I think that's why they're here, is to ask you guys to find out the reasons for why it's there. Yeah.
Thank you, Ms. Lucia. So why? We're a 250-year-old community. Think about Milton. Think about Simeon Perkins. He put his first sawmill up there 250 years ago. Is every house on the Mersey River system connected to the Region of Queens sewer system? Or does every house on the Mersey River have a functioning sewer system? No. That's the obvious truth. Is this region attempting to fix that? Yes. You see the region digging constantly and doing work. The way you fix it is it simply increase your sewer rate, because people living in Hunts Point or Beach Meadows, they're not going to pay to put in a sewer for people along the Mersey River. So yes, there's a way to fix it. It's called just keep upping the sewer rate higher and higher and working at it. That is the honest way, because as we all know, money doesn't grow on trees. We get money from your grandfather. We get money from Ms. Luschner. We get our money from taxes. We get our money from the users of the system. People in Liverpool pay to turn their tap on. They pay for that water. People outside of the Liverpool area do not pay for that water system because they have their own well, they have their own things. So yes, there's a way that you can fix and make sure that every single home on the Mersey River from the mouth of the Mersey all the way up to Palmhook Preserve is not putting anything in the river, and it's simply called spending millions and millions and millions of dollars. As elected people, we work cautiously toward that goal. It's been continuous since amalgamation. This region of Queens has been diligent. It built a new sewer lagoon, and think about it, it's been 25 years next year that the region of Queens was formed and started cleaning up the river. Things don't happen overnight. So, as you'll see, Waterloo, yes, needs to be fixed. There is a gap between the well and the first bridge. There is a gap on the other side. And then you have from the first bridge, from the second bridge all the way out to the end of what I'm going to call 2 Mile. Then you have from the first bridge all the way up to the first dam. And then as you go further up that river, you have cottages, and then you have some more homes. So, yes, yes, it can be fixed, Ms. Luschner. It just takes a whole lot of money.
And I think Stella showed our students that in fact that is possible. She helped provincial or municipal, provincial and federal government come together to donate over $5 million to, you know, fixing the septics in the neighborhood. So I think that, you know, it's great that these kids want to be involved in something like this, and I think our kids are really interested in, you know, talking with municipal government and learning what part they can have.
I know what they can do to help. You can do a letter writing campaign. Ms. Luschner can talk to your English teacher, or she can take it on herself. You need to write to your MLA. Do you know who your MLA is? Ms. Maslin, Kim Maslin. You need to write to your federal MP, that's your member of parliament, so that's the person that represents us in Ottawa, Bernadette Jordan. She just lives in Lunenburg County, so she's not far away. But if you as students would write referencing what you've been doing, that you've made this presentation, that you know we were denied funding for Waterloo, and you write from personal standpoints of view, you can write, you can do art, you can do videos, you can do it in any way you can, but if you start that as your initiative forward, then you would be a great asset and a great help to us. Because they hear from us, we apply for the monies, we don't get the monies. But another voice of young, active students is a totally different voice. And our acting engineer, Adam Grant, would be glad to help you if you needed any further questions or if you needed some specific information, if you needed maps on what areas are looked after, what areas aren't, because any help that we can get from federal and provincial funding, we would more than welcome. And I think that would be a great feather in your cap, be a great experience as a next step forward, because that's what Stella did. Stella did her tests, and then she moved forward, and she wrote, and she communicated, and I mean, I admire you for being here today. I think it's great that you stand up and express your voice, and I know there were many others in your class that took part in this project. So, Counselor Fancy.
Okay. I really appreciate all your hard work. That's, and it takes a lot to get in front of people, isn't it? Some guys with a mask can hog you a little bit, but still, you're still there in front of people, and you have to talk. Yeah, the Bridgewater project, I looked into that a few years ago myself, just to find out what was going on, and that, of course, was put on by Stella. She started the project as a pilot project that's going on down there. Could it happen here? Possibly. I don't know. That's for people like yourselves to go forward with, to find out. I think one thing that the region should definitely look at is you've got these numbers. I'd like you to put those numbers back up there if you could on that slide, because it is alarming in the sense that if we're even like down in, if we're going looking at a project down in the Liverpool landing area, and we're talking about swimming and things, we've got to make it safe. So that becomes part of a make sure project. So I think with the region, on my behalf is thinking that we should have not to discredit your findings, but come in and do findings ourselves. Make sure if these these numbers are that high, we need to be looking at ways of doing it. We talk about straight pipes. Straight pipes are just like a septic that's just got a straight pipe out to the harbor. And we've seen some of those. I've been with some other people. And we've seen actually straight pipes right from the house right up to the harbor. But there's, with every straight pipe, there's a lot of places that have just well rings. And that's what the septic was. And there's no beds or anything else. And then they'll have some other people with just big holes, put rock in, and they'll put a pipe into that and going out. When that water gets high, when the rains and everything, that all goes right up to the harbor. That's where it goes in a lot of ditches, and the ditches all go up to the harbor. So it's not just the straight pipe, it's all these other things that are improper septic systems that all go in part and parcel with these things. So yes, what they do down in the project down in Bridgewater is a third provincial, a third federal, and then the third is the homeowner. The only bad part about it becomes is that everybody has to tie in when they did it. There was nobody could have a choice of walking away from it. But it did clean up it's cleaning up the harbor. So whether it be this way or another, I think you guys are on the right track. We've got to get the harbor cleaned up. We got the canoe and camera club. It's just started up. And, you know, you want people to learn how to swim. You want to have them up there in canoes and things. We've got to make the harbor safe. And where these places were taken, I looked at some of them there, and I'm like, you know, it's places where people are swimming now. But then there's one place that's up there between the two bridges, and that's hot. So it's not just one spot that's all going on. It's coming across the whole river. Are we going to look at the wood that's gone through the years and lay another bond? But I think mostly is, I won't even say what I think mostly is, but the whole idea is we've got to find the source if we want to make our river usable and let people swim into it, or we're going to have to try to say you've got to stay under it. If we're going to look at the numbers and see what it says.
Okay. Any other comments? Generally, we don't. And I guess this is our first council meeting where we've had an issue that people from the gallery want to speak, but I'm going to apply the rules, David.
Okay.
And I'm going to say, when we have public question comment center, you can ask your question then, but I really think we need to start making sure that we don't go sideways for some things and we don't, you know, and then make go straight on others. So we're going to abide by our rules, and I allowed Ms. Luchner to speak because she was part of this group.
Hi, Norman. We have letters here from the students at South Queens Middle School. Some of them are for Bernadette Gordon.
Oh, you've already done your letters?
Yes. Not to like the provincial government, but to like the counselors, you, Bernadette Gordon.
And bring them up. Thank you, Austin. Garfield. Why did I call you Austin? I don't know. So I keep these and give them later.
Yeah, for you, and we also our poverty fields have some letters separately that we've written to Bernadette Turner that we will be mailing her.
And also we need our provincial, because that's who the feds give the money to the province dishes it up. Councilor Gidney.
I'd like to commend you guys. This is amazing. I did not know the river was that bad. I live on the river. I swim in the river. I'm not in swimming here. This is, thank you. You've opened my eyes, and we've got to get something going. This comes up. Thank you very much.
Councilor Brown.
I'd like to thank you guys for coming. It's a real eye-opening experience, and it's good to get involved. And like Councillor Norman said, this is a lot of money to fix these problems. But you coming forward and showing the problem, doing some of the science, and being activists raises the need to have it done. So you can actually advocate to have it raised on our levels of funding to get the project fixed quicker. Because we do have that chance, and by being a community activist, you're really helping us to set our priorities for what we need to do. Thank you very much.
Well said. Councillor Charlton.
I'd like to thank you both for coming as well, and for everyone that worked on this project. It's our voice, and I think if we can all work together, that we have a better chance of fixing this. I do not know that the levels are so high, and I swim in that river, so it's very choppy.
And thank you on behalf of all the council, and thank you, Ms. Luchner and Mr. B, for your interest. And I just ask that you keep at it. keep questioning, give her a little hope for provincial. I mean, politics is politics, and why they make decisions on some matters, and because we, this region has always been able to receive those funding matters, especially for sewer, where it's identified as a federal matter in straight across Canada. This is indeed a federal matter, which is why province money. So all we can do is wait until the next time around, or if it's the wish of council, then sewer rates go up and the matter gets fixed. Okay. Anything else you'd like to say? Thank you again for coming, and we'll see you again. Have a happy holiday.
Thank you.
And there goes proud grandfather. Public question comment session. So if you wish to speak, I remind that you state your name and your civic address, please. Same to you, Leon.
Thank you.
David, did you want to speak now?
Yeah.
No, nothing's working.
No, nothing's working.
Is it?
I don't think it works.
No.
My name's David Lewis. Everybody hear me?
Is it on? There.
I reside at 219 Milford Street. I'm also here representing the Milford Camera Club at 137 West Street. Yeah, it's valuable work what the group students did, and highly valued, and it'll hopefully show results going down the road. Who knows, it could be a future chemist or some other related field of science. But with regard to the presentation, it is quite disturbing and concerning. And I just wonder, the question for the council is, I believe when I was talking with some of the future folks who are running for council, brought the subject up of sewer along the Mersey, and to their knowledge, there was nothing in like the 10-year plan. So I know you're working towards the one in Waterloo, but is there anything on the books for going forward on that?
Okay, so David, I'll be honest and say that as a council, we've not met and examined and looked at that 10-year plan. It shifts and changes from council to council. So this is a good thing to keep in our mind about the 10-year plan, because we do have the gaps between the bridges. So if they told you that it's not in the 10-year plan, then I assume they, if they were past council members, then they're aware of that. But we as a council have not met and discussed that 10-year plan to this point in time. Is that correct? I'm familiar with what they do.
Okay, so I'd approve the data, you know, it could be waterfowl. As we all know, it likely is inflows. I mean, I paddle up and down the river quite frequently after a rain event, and the number of brooks that open up after an event like we just had, it doubles, over doubles. And all those, they don't have to be straight pipes.
Yeah, they can be malfunctioning septics and...
Yeah. I might add that we bought our property in 2017, and we were thinking of using the existing septic, but upon further examination, it was a straight pipe type. It was a tank and then a pipe went directly to the wall.
On Milford?
Are you?
That was?
No, on the 137 West Street.
Oh, West Street.
At the Canoe Court.
Oh.
And so we put in a holding tank. So if there's one, there's likely more.
Council minutes, December 8th, 2020. Moved by Councilor Gidney, seconded by Councilor Hawks, that the regular council minutes of December 8th, 2020 be approved. All those in favor, signify by raising your hand. Contrary, passed. Approval of the minutes of public hearing, December 7th, 2020, establishment of a recycling depot and processing operation. Moved by Councillor Brown, seconded by Councillor Amaro. All those in question, all those in favor? Passed. Approval of the minutes of public hearing, December 7, 2020, establishment of a beverage formulation testing and small-scale production operation, East Berlin. Moved by Councillor Charlton, seconded by Councillor Hawks. All those in favor? Contrary? Passed. Nothing to report on dangerous or unsightly premises. Economic development remains quiet. Well, not quiet, but nothing to report at this point in time. Corporate services. Diversity and inclusion coordinator, revised job description. So there's a recommendation in the package. If somebody would like to make that recommendation, please. Councilor Charlton?
I move that the council is thinking of how you can revise the issue of the job.
Seconded by Councilor Romero. So if you look at your background information, in July of 2020, approval was given to adopt the All Vision Framework for Municipal Government, and the establishment of the Diversity and Inclusion Action Team was made. Also last year, Council approved the hiring of a diversity and inclusion coordinator. At the first meeting, so the diversity and inclusion action team has been formed, and at the first meeting, one of the things they did was looked over the proposed job description for the diversity coordinator. They wished to change it, so in your package you had the current one, which was made by the last council, and then you have the revised version, which was made by the members of the diversity inclusion team. So that is what this motion refers to, that they refer that we accept the new this new job description. So are there any questions or comments regarding the changes to the general duties and responsibilities of the job? Counselor Fancy.
Not really any questions about the duties, but I understand there's a quite a significant change, you know, just wording and things. But it'd be nice if we could have it more highlighted to what's being removed and put in. Like, because everything looks the same, you just have to read it and then go back and forth to try to find out what's missing and what's not.
Typically, we would mark up the current one, but if I marked up the current one, it would be black. It would be marks everywhere, and it would be unreadable. And so that's why you see the current one and the proposed one. For the most part, everything in there is identical. So except the committee has asked that they be separated into categories. So you'll see in the proposed one, there's a category of organizational support. There's one on program policy review. There's one on resource development. And community engagement, community capacity building, and a few other ones. And so most of the items that were earmarked in the original job description have just been moved and put into certain categories. There's very little wording change. The only issue or the request of the committee was there are some references in the original job description to marginalize people, which was seen as a somewhat negative term. And so you'll see the change in there to at risk. Residents or at-risk population, so there are just some minor changes that way to make it more appropriate wording for diversity and inclusion coordinator. And there is just a general statement of at the beginning of the job description, which is the inclusionary accountability, which is that we support fair hiring practices, and we're committed to diversity and inclusion in our organization. So they're just a general statement that didn't exist before.
Okay.
So other than that, almost all of the job description is identical.
Right.
It's just moved around.
It's in a much more readable format.
And I understand that I'm glad you though explained those little things, because some things like that I might miss, because you're just not looking for that wording here or there and just miss it completely. So now you're explaining it to me, I understand it better.
I believe if there would have been any major changes, that they would have been explained.
No, I just don't know any changes.
Yeah. And as we know, this is a 2-year position. If we look at the how they've gotten this broken, how this is now broke down, there's a lot of work for someone to do. In this thing. So any other questions or comments? Councillor Brown?
Yeah, there's not a, I mean, you've said there's not a lot of changes to the actual duties, but the wording has changed quite a bit. Is the incumbent that we've already hired happy with these changes?
We haven't hired anyone yet.
Oh, I thought we had somebody.
This position has not yet
okay.
been advertised.
My apologies then.
No. This is in lieu of placing an application.
Okay.
You confused with lease.
Yes, I was. Yeah, okay. Thank you very much for that clarification.
Any other comments or questions? If not, I'll ask for the question. All those in favor? Contrary? Engineering, Public Works, Finance, Recreation, Healthy Communities, Safeguard Students, Planning. Planning matter. Mike will come forward. So this has been an ongoing for the last few months. And Mike will explain how WASOEC wished to have a rezone, but they found a way to, rather than rezone, go by development permit. So, Michael.
Yes, just as a little bit of background, as the mayor has indicated, we've received an application to rezone the property at 85 Hillside Road in Brooklyn.
I can just interrupt you for a moment. There's a recommendation. We should start with that first. So,
yeah.
Councilor Mayor, since this is in your district, sorry about that.
I move that the Council of Regional Queens give notice of its intention to amend the municipal planning strategy and land use bylaw to include
policy and regulations which would permit self-storage uses in certain residential zones through a development agreement process, and that a public hearing be scheduled for Tuesday, January 26, 2021, in the council chambers of the municipality building, 249 White Point Road in Liverpool, Nova Scotia, at 6 p.m. Seconded by Councilor Charlton. Okay, Mike, you can resume now.
Yep, so the property at 85 Hillside Road, it's currently zoned general residential R2 under the land use bylaw. The owners of the property wish to open a self-storage business at this location, a use which is currently not permitted under the general residential R2 zone list of permitted uses. So the only way that council or we could consider this use would be through amendment to both the municipal planning strategy and land use bylaw. Right now, under current regulations, the only zones that permit this type of use are the mixed-use rural residential R5 zone and the mixed-use coastal residential R6 zone. So the application was brought before the Planning Advisory Committee on at its October meeting, and while it was the general feeling of the committee that they were supportive of moving forward with this application in some manner, it was not felt that the rezoning to an R5 mixed-use rural residential R5 zone was most appropriate, because it doesn't meet the intent of that rural zoning classification. As well as staff had reviewed the application, the use is permitted within the R5 zone are quite extensive, so to rezone this property to an R5 would be opening up to many other uses besides the self-storage use that may not be or may not fit in very well with the surrounding residential, low-density residential neighborhood. So with that, the Planning Advisory Committee referred the application back to staff to look at what other options may be available to the applicants in meeting their needs for or desires for self-storage use at this location. So with that, staff went back and looked at what other options may be available to meet those needs. And at the December 14th meeting of the Planning Advisory Committee, five options were included for discussion of the Planning Advisory. Option one was to maintain status quo, which would essentially be to deny the amendment request. Option two was to amend the municipal planning strategy and land use bylaw to consider self-storage businesses as a permitted use within the general residential R2 zone. Option three was to amend the municipal planning strategy and land use bylaw to create a new zoning classification, which could be applied to this property and potentially others, which would allow for self-storage uses. Option four was to amend the municipal planning strategy and land use bylaw to include policy which would permit self-storage uses in certain residential zones through a development agreement process. And the fifth option was to incorporate provisions within the new municipal planning strategy and land use bylaw, which are currently going through review, to consider a wider range of uses, including self-storage uses within certain residentially designated areas. So just as a matter of note, for any amendment to a municipal planning strategy and land use bylaw, there is an approximate time frame of 4 months to run through that process based on requirements of the municipal government. So the committee at its December 14th meeting reviewed the potential options in great detail. As they indicated, again, they were generally supportive of moving forward with an application in some form. The majority of committee members at that meeting were of the opinion that amendments to the current planning documents be initiated sooner than later, and that also provisions be incorporated within the new municipal planning strategy and land use bylaw, which would be consistent with the amendments being initiated So with that, Planning Advisory Committee made the recommendation to consider self-storage uses within our residential, certain residential zones through a development agreement process, which enables council to incorporate certain provisions which help mitigate any potential impacts that this use would have on the surrounding residential neighborhoods.
So in other words, rather than rezone the property to a zone which would then open it up to any other uses, that even though they only want dry, the storage, to rezone that zone, and the zone goes with the property forever, then any other property owner would be able to suddenly do any of those whole other things in that zone. So this way, they're getting what they wish to do storage. And if you read, and as you, could I assume you've all read this, then you'll know that there's the hours of operation will be adhered to. There's already a post office there. They do small manufacturing. There's plenty of parking. So any questions of Mike before we ask for the question?
Yeah, I have a...
Councilor Brown?
Yeah. This is zoned in R2 right now.
That's correct.
But they have industrial and a post office in a residential zoning.
Yeah. I guess the current uses on the property, they go back many years, and under the former Brooklyn land use bylaw, it allowed for council to consider the manufacturing, light manufacturing use through a development agreement process. So there is a development agreement which complied with policy at the time.
Okay.
But under the new regional municipal land strategy, that's no longer permitted, so we don't have the ability to amend that existing development agreement because it has to comply with the regulations of the day, which is the correct planning strategy. So so really the only option for them is to rezone or make amendments through the development agreement to the process to the current plan.
I was just a little confused how they could have an industrial facility in something that was still zoned residential, so thank you.
And that's going back, I think, 1999 or something.
Quite a few years. Okay.
Any other questions? If not, I'll ask for the question. Oh, Councilor Fancy?
just as more of a statement is that when we looked at it, the whole thing, everything was going to be 4 months. So even if you went in any way, there's nothing that could speed up the process of this development, of them being able to start this. And they seem to be, I think, happy with the answer of going forward, and I think it's a good solution. No matter which way we would have gone, you couldn't have got any less than 4 months to be able to move forward.
Well, that's correct, I guess, under current regulations.
Yes.
That's the only way you consider it is to move out.
Councilor Merrill.
And for everybody's information, everything will be contained inside the building. There will be no storage units or anything outside.
Ready for the question? All those in favor? Opposed?